Over the past few months, much of the media coverage on immigration has focused on what happens to migrants after they get to the United States. But why are they coming?
Honduras has one of the highest femicide rates in the world.
This is Guatemala City's largest market, and business owners here are forced to pay extortion to gang members or face violent reprisals.
El Salvador, a country that has major problems with gangs and homicides. It's also one of the most dangerous places in the world for women.
There's no work here. Even if people study, they don't find jobs. It's a disaster. There's no work.
According to the most recent numbers released by U.S. Customs and Border Protection, nearly 50% of migrants who cross and are apprehended at the border are from Central America, specifically El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. To help us understand the motivating factors to migration, we're joined by Adriana Beltran. Adriana is the Director of Citizen Security at the Washington Office on Latin America.
First, I would just like to say that, you know, if you look at overall figures, migration to the U.S. southern border has gone down, even though, you know, if you compare it to the numbers that you saw in the 90s, early 2000s, what you have seen in recent years has been an increase of asylum seekers arriving at the border. And as you mentioned, a large percentage of those are from the countries of the Northern Triangle, so Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala.
And the specific conditions, you mentioned many of them are asylum seekers. They are seeking asylum from what?
These are, you know, families, children, and women that are fleeing very dangerous situations. Many of them come from marginalized communities in their own countries, many communities that are now under the control of street gangs or regions of the country that are under the control of criminal networks.
So isn't the president right to a certain extent to say we should stop migration from these countries? Does it not open the potential for some of those gang members to come across?
It's not gang members that are coming across. It's families that are in desperate need of protection. What I would emphasize is that you have situations where their own state authorities have not been able to address the situation. So if you look at, you know, rates of impunity for homicides alone, they're extremely high. In many of these communities, people fear the police as much as they fear the criminals. You have very weak institutions because of the lack of institution building following the conflicts in that part of the world.
Let's talk about some of those conflicts, because I don't think we can have a conversation about those conflicts without talking about the United States' involvement in Central America and Latin American politics, right?
Right. You know, both in Guatemala and in El Salvador that had internal armed conflicts, you know, the U.S. supported the counterinsurgency strategies in these countries. In the case of Honduras, they used Honduras as a way of, you know, fighting the left in Nicaragua. So in many ways, you know, the U.S. funded the militaries and the dictatorships that were committing these egregious human rights violations.
Adriana, let's talk a little bit about specifically each of these countries. The political situation today in Honduras, for example, where does that country stand?
Right. So Honduras had elections in November of last year. They were highly questioned elections, massive discontent, partly because the president ran for re-election despite a constitutional limit on the presidential term. There were many, many irregularities, delays throughout the process that led to diminished credibility of the electoral process and the institutions, and that ignited a wave of protests across the country. The state responded to those protests in a very aggressive way. You had security forces, mainly in this case, in the case of Honduras, the military police that used excessive use of force, including lethal force. You had cases where they used actual bullets to disperse the protesters.
And what are we seeing in Guatemala and El Salvador, briefly?
In the case of Guatemala, I would say that out of the three, it was the country that had been making the most progress in addressing this endemic corruption. And this has been greatly due to the presence of a UN-led commission that has really, working with the Attorney General's office, has unearthed and shed a light on this endemic corruption. But it has also, you know, just touched at the heart of the corruption. And so what you see now is this a very strong backlash and campaign that has been carried out by the executive, by members of the legislature and their allies to try to just halt this anti-corruption effort and get rid of the commission. In the case of El Salvador, I would say, you know, it is of the three a country that has faced extremely high levels of violence. In 2015, the homicide rate there reached a level that was even much higher than the level of violence that you saw during the war. A lot of that increase had to do with the unraveling of a gang truce that had occurred in previous years. And the response of the government since then has been a very aggressive, heavy-handed crackdown against whoever they perceived to be an alleged gang member that has led to a number of, you know, confrontations between security forces and who they presume to be gang members in many of these marginalized communities. And what you're seeing is more and more an increasing number of abuses and even extrajudicial executions.
I want to also ask you about diplomatic relations between the United States and these countries. Outside of zero tolerance, what is the United States doing, or what should they be doing, to increase diplomacy and to maybe help, you know, mitigate some of this activity?
At the end of 2015, under the Obama administration, there was a significant increase of U.S. assistance to the region, particularly to these three countries, and significant aid has continued to address these factors that are causing irregular migration. You know, they look at issues of economic development, issues of corruption and weak governance, and the issue of security. I think there are, you know, a number of positive initiatives that the U.S. is supporting, including, you know, the Commission Against Impunity in Guatemala, CICIG, that I mentioned. There's a similar body that the U.S. is supporting in Honduras. And I think those, you know, efforts that are showing results, we should continue to support, particularly when it comes to corruption and impunity.
Adriana Beltran is the Director of Citizen Security at the Washington Office on Latin America. Adriana, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.